Hey everybody, Dr. Josh Yellen here again with University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. Look us up, www.hhp.uh.edu. I forgot to mention our last guest, Dr. Azude. If you want to look him up, that's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com / George Azude. That's O-Z-O-U-D-E, right? So it's Sports Medicine Broadcast, George Azude, 2016. And with me right now is Dr. Raj Shani, right? And that's going to be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com / R-A-J-S-H-A-I-N-I. No, let me back up. My tongue is getting twisted. R-A-J-S-H-A-N-I. 2016, Dr. Raj Shani, 2016 Sports Medicine Broadcast. So, Dr. Shani, thank you very much for being with us today. And your talk specifically, and I kind of want to back up, give everybody an idea of your education, your training. So let's start kind of from the beginning. You are from, right, you went to medical school where?
I went to medical school at Baylor College of Medicine. Actually, I grew up here in Houston. I went to Memorial High School, so about five minutes away from here.
This is home.
This is home.
And so you went to high school here in Houston and went to college?
I went to Washington University in St. Louis.
Oh, you went a little bit?
Went away a little bit, but I had to come back to Texas.
Yeah, and then so you went to Washington University,
right.
Great school, right? Great
liberal. Yeah.
It's a great liberal arts school. I love the liberal arts education,
yes.
Because they teach you how to think. It's true. The liberal arts education teaches you how to think. For all the educators that are listening right now, we've gone away from that a little bit, and we need to teach people how to think again and come up with their own conclusions. But that's my own little soapbox. And so then you go to medical school where?
Baylor College of Medicine.
And so you graduate from Baylor College of Medicine and you do your residency training?
At UT.
At UT Houston.
UT in Galveston.
UTMB.
UTMB, yeah.
Yeah, great. I live in League City.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I go down to Galveston all the time.
Yeah.
I love the beach down there. I'm originally from Southern California, so it's an Pacific Ocean. But I'm just saying. And then, can you do something about the heat and humidity?
Oh, man. We're working on it.
Good. We'll make some phone calls, see what we can do.
And then I did my fellowship at Emory University.
So you went out to Atlanta.
Yeah, went out to Atlanta.
And so did you have a chance to work with the Emory? They had a great fellowship program in athletic training.
I did. I was with the Emory Athletic Trainers, their fellowship there.
And was Forrest Petcha there?
No.
At the same time?
Not at the same time.
He had just left. He had just left.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody knows Forrest. Forrest, if you're listening, he's now at St. Luke's in Idaho. Is he a gem. If you don't know Forrest, you have to go look him up. He is the guru when it comes to athletic training residency programs. A lot of respect towards Forrest. Okay, so let's get into it. Today's your area, especially, is it your general orthopedics?
I do sports medicine.
Okay, and so the talk you gave today was about the foot and ankle.
Right.
And about useful anatomy.
Yeah, I wanted to focus in on the sports injuries that occur in the foot and ankle because they're often neglected for some of the more common knee and shoulder injuries.
Uh-huh.
So we focused in on some of the more common foot and ankle injuries and what not to miss when you're examining.
And so let's talk about it, right? So the common theme so far is you better know your anatomy.
Correct.
Right? Anatomy is key. Anything dealing with the body, your anatomy is your basis for everything that you're going to do. And so you know your anatomy, and now we're going to talk about, walk us through the history, right? Because I'm sure there's some sort of process or algorithm that you have in place that you always follow, and then start to make decisions based on that. Let's transition into some of the more common injuries and some of the special tests you like to use, and then talk about you know, maybe indications for surgery, non-surgery, et cetera.
Right.
Okay.
So the history always starts when you examine a patient, you always have to get a good history of how the injury occurred and what the chronicity of the injury. Have they been dealing with this for 1 or 2 days, or has it been going on for weeks? Does the pain that they have occur all the time, or is it only with certain activities? And if so, which activities? Is there swelling? Is it related to a certain time of day? These are all important activities. Also important what they do. Are they a weekend warrior athlete, or is this a high school athlete that participates in activity every day, mm-hmm. and they are stretching their ankle in different ways, or for stretching any part of their body in different ways. So you want to get the clinical history of who they are, what they do, how the injury is occurring, when is it occurring, and if there's any contributing factors, or are they taking any medications, or have they done anything in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once you've got that history in place, let's start about the examination, right? And let's just, again, we'll just focus on, I know you're general, but we'll focus on your talk today, the foot and ankle. And again, for those that want to listen in, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Look him up, Raj Jhani 2016, RajShani 2016. So you've got all that history in place, and we don't really examine the patient until we've got all of that. And now we're going to start to get into our examination. Walk us through how you examine foot and ankle, and what is it that you're looking for?
You're examining somebody as soon as they walk into your office. You're looking at their gait. You're looking at their mechanics of their gait. Are they limping? Are they having what we call an antalgic gait, which is avoiding their foot because of pain, putting weight on their foot because of their pain. So as soon as they walk in, you're examining their posture, their gait, and how they're holding their extremity. After that, you wanted to examine just generally the inspection. Is there swelling? Has there been any bruising? Is there any gross deformity that you should be noticing initially? After that, you take them through certain physical exam maneuvers, whether it be palpation, looking mm-hmm. for any swelling or any particular areas of palpation, or instability examinations. The most important thing that you want to notice on an examination is if there's any mechanical signs that you can elicit through a physical examination, that you feel a pop or a crack or a crepitus, or there's some sort of catching or locking that you feel when you examine the ankle, that could be important to realize. A good physical exam also always includes the neurovascular status, mm-hmm. testing the blood flow and the neurologic function of the ankle, the strength, if there's any decreased sensation, and so forth.
And so when we're looking at the different anatomical landmarks of, and we're just going to focus on the foot and ankle, some things that pop out to me are, navicular. Subtentaculum tali, medial malleolus, lateral malleolus. So are there certain parts of the anatomy that you're going to focus on more than others in your examination?
It's all based on the history. Are we coming back to the history? It depends on what the history tells me to look at. Mm-hmm. If the history is someone who's saying that I can't push off, well, then I'm going to look at the plantar plate and the first metatarsal a little more. If it's I'm having instability on the lateral aspect of the ankle, well, I'm going to focus in on that. Mm-hmm. If there's pain on the posterior aspect, we're going to look at the retrocalcaneal space. We're going to look at the Achilles tendon. Immediately, we're going to look at the deltoid. We're going to look at some of the posterior tibial tendons. I cannot emphasize as much how important the clinical history is, and based on the clinical history, focus in your exam. But then it's also important to take a step back and look at the whole picture, because there are contributing factors.
Right.
So we examine the whole entire ankle, but there'll be a focus in on pathology based on what the patient's telling me.
So for all those that are listening right now, I'm a big believer in, the process, and I like this system. It's called the Yale six-step process of problem solving. And it's really talking about, as we apply it to medicine, we're going to go through this process. We're going to kind of go through this algorithm of, okay, we're going to make the examination. We're going to determine what the issues are. We're going to start to focus our examination. We're going to ask great questions to get to the area. And I'm going to know my anatomy. And once I have all that information in place, now I'm going to be able to make some deciding factors, right? And so let's talk about some of the more common injuries that happen in sport that you've seen.
With respect to the foot ankle, the most common injuries are the low ankle sprain. Low ankle sprains, high ankle sprains, Achilles injuries, they're all very, very common. Low ankle sprains are often treated with Rice protocol, but the main thing that you want to look at when you have a low ankle sprain is giving it the time and getting it back to where you want it to be and not going back too early to play. So it would be resting your ankle, getting back into an early weight-bearing program, working with a physical therapist or doing a particular exercise, focusing on balance and strengthening of the ankle. And then if there's a clinical indication that there may be something more going on, you need to get that evaluated to look for any other concomitant injuries.
Okay, and so what is, when we're talking about, conservative evaluation, because everything that you're talking about so far for all the athletic trainers and physical therapists that are listening out there, boy, You know, the examination that these trained orthopedic surgeons are going through is the same examination we're doing in our settings, whether it's going to be an athletic training room or...
In fact, you all are usually the first person to examine and give us the idea of what's going on before we have a chance to examine an athlete. So the physical exam from you and from the athletic trainers is very crucial, in fact.
Yeah, it's so, so important. You know, I was just having a conversation with Brad Brown, and Brad, boy, he's got a wealth of experience. He brought up something really great. You know, when he was practicing, he made it a point to go to every operation he could. Whatever, you know, if it was an athlete of his and they were going into the operating room, Brad tried to get to that operating room. Why? Because he wanted to see how the surgeries were being done. He wanted to, you know, constantly refresh and refine his anatomy. He wanted to make sure that he understood that, okay, when I go back to rehabilitate this injury, you know, back from surgery, he understood the process. And the way I always describe it is, you know, in orthopedic surgery, you know, it's a lot like the contractor of the house, right? We're going to lay the foundation, we're going to build the house, and the structure is sound. And now we have to, you know, kind of paint the house, and we got to put the drywall up. And that's where rehab comes into place, right? We got to start to make things move right, and, you know, all these different things. And so the more that we understand the procedure that the orthopedist is taking and the inside out, the better we are. And, you know, it goes back to this Institute of Medicine interprofessional collaboration is just huge. Okay, so now we're back, and we're talking about that examination. When do you operate? When do you not operate? What types of things are you seeing? You know, hey, I need to go into an operation because I saw X athlete and they got operated on, and I won't. I mean, how do you start to make these decisions?
That's a very tough question to answer. But first of all, I do want to reiterate, I think it's very important for athletic trainers to come to the operating room because the operating room is an anatomy lab, essentially. You know, we can show you the anatomy in much more detail and show you the pathology. So if you do have that opportunity, I do recommend that. Now, coming back to your question on when to operate, honestly, it's tough to answer that question. It's all based on the individual athlete, individual problem itself. There are injuries that occur initially that need an operation. You know, tear your Achilles, or you have a fracture, or you have a significant Lisfranc injury. Those we know are not going to get better, and they need surgery. Now the real question is what about these injuries that can heal but aren't healing, that may need to do that? So
what are some examples of those?
Chronic ankle instability, let's say, for instance, someone who had an ankle sprain, they've rehabilitated it, they did everything they can to get it better, but they still feel unstable on that ankle, they've done the necessary physical therapy, and you have to give it. All clinical indications have to come together and say, okay, we need to proceed with this because you haven't improved after, let's say, 3 months of therapy. They've done the rehab, they've done the active medication, they've taken the medicines they need, and it's still not improving. Then it may be time to take the next step. It may be time to get more imaging and then take the next step. But it has to be delineated based off of what the type of pathology you have. Does it fall into one basket where it's an injury we know that's not going to heal that needs? Or is it just an injury where we have good evidence to show that in majority of the people they do heal, and if they didn't, we can look at some of those factors, whether or not address those factors, and if all of us fails, then move on to the last step. Surgery should always be a last consideration in those type of injuries.
And so essentially, so now we're in the operating room, and you know, you've chosen, hey, you know, I need to go through the surgical intervention to get you to where you want to get to. What are some things that you want, you know, for all those that are listening, athletic training, PT, etc., when you're in the operating room and you release the patient back to us for rehabilitation, give us some, drop some knowledge on us about what you are expecting. What do you want to occur from us?
I think communication is extremely important between the physician and the athletic trainer. And I think it actually starts in the operating room for them to be there in the operating room to see exactly what was done. Throughout the whole process, constant updates and feedbacks to see how the athlete is doing and what needs to happen. I'm a firm believer of being available through cell phone and through communication to discuss what's going on the practice field, because oftentimes a physician can't be there. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to get that feedback, whatever way you choose to communicate with your physician, whether it be through text, email, or through a phone call. Communication to get back to follow the protocol that the physician has designed to determine how that patient was healed and what's going to work for them. Mm-hmm. So communication is the most important, and communication every milestone, essentially. You know, we've set a milestone, we want the athlete to be here. Has the patient achieved those goals? And if not, why? What can we do to make it better? Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't feel any hesitancy to talk to your physician. That's what they're there for. They're there to communicate. They may be busy, they may have other patients to take care of, but you know, athletes are important to get them in, and you need to communicate with them.
Right. Any other pearls of wisdom you want people to know? You know, this is an incredible opportunity for us to come together as a medical community and talk and discuss and learn. What are some other nuggets that, you know, we can walk away?
I couldn't reiterate more of getting in the clinical and operating room setting with, mm-hmm. with the physician, because once you know the paradigm of how your physician is approaching problems, mm-hmm. you can apply that to the field, and you can understand how to treat the athletes better. So anytime you have the opportunity to get in the clinical setting or look at the perioperative area of the mm-hmm. of the OR, because I think athletic trainers get a great great training in the post care and the pre care, but that perioperative, what happens right before, what happens right after, that can be a little nebulous.
And I'm going to go off on a limb here and say, I bet you that mindset that you have was from your training from Emory.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know? That was a great residency. I really saw the trainers that worked there, that learned there, they really evolved in from when they started to where they end. They became more astute of how to problem solve, how to diagnose, and how to treat patients.
And you know, Forrest, he runs great residency programs. Again, he's one of those gurus out there that any questions I've got, you know, I call Forrest. He's a great resource, and it's really one of the fastest growing areas in athletic training is the athletic training. Athletic trainer really functioning in a physician office, the athletic trainer really functioning in the operating room or in a hospital setting. All these incredible opportunities. I've got some former students that are going to, you know, they're going to be in the operating room. They're going to be first assist, and it's like, wow, this is incredible. Right. This is incredible. Well, Dr. Shawnee, thank you.
My pleasure. Very much. Thank you for having me.
This has been a real pleasure. Again, look us up, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/RajShawnee2016 for the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Dr. Josh Yellen, University of Houston, Master of Athletic Training Program, www.hhp.uh.edu/MAT. See you later.